I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai, Marcel Swally,
hey,
Emmanuel.
You outdressing me today, big bro. I'm
really?
Proud of you.
Really?
I'm proud of you.
I'm feeling that over there, but okay, I'll take it.
It's from Milan, actually. It's one of my
Milan. Handpicked.
Anytime I can button up, I'm happy. I don't give a damn. All right, let's get it started with the Lakers. Ooh, Lakers took a big L last night in game one against the Blazers. LeBron James had a triple-double in his playoff debut with L.A., but it was spoiled by a three-point onslaught led by Damian Lillard. Dame hit one from the parking lot late in the fourth quarter, and the Blazers never looked back, winning by seven. So, Acho, the Lakers in trouble after losing game one.
Yes, the Lakers are in trouble, bro.
You saying this?
Yes.
You?
Bro, here's the thing. I am not one of those analysts that is so stuck on an opinion that I have to say my opinion, lie to myself, along with the rest of the world, just because I'm stuck in my train of thinking.
Will you leave Nick right alone, my dog?
Nick, how y'all Lakers doing?
I'm sorry.
That's not me. Okay. I'm a dude who speaks facts. Mm. The Lakers are in trouble because they've been in trouble, bro.
Yes.
I said this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. As soon as the bubble started, I said, hey, man, the Lakers can't shoot the three all bubble, all eight games. Mm. Well, they couldn't shoot the three last night. What else have we said during the first eight games of the bubble? AD disappears in the fourth quarter.
Gone.
What happened last night? 2 points, one board. What happened all second half for AD? Only 7 points after having 21 points in the first half. All the problems we saw for the Lakers in the bubble in those first eight games of play-in play, we see now. The problem is so many TV people, so many basketball experts, they said, man, the Lakers, they gonna change their stripes. Mm. They gonna change their spots. Mm. I'm looking at things like, you get what you've seen. And that's exactly what happened last night. To say the Lakers aren't in trouble would be to lie to the rest of the world along with yourself. Because when you really look at it, bro, everybody thinks that AD and LeBron, they just cover for a multitude of sins.
Right.
They just cover for a multitude of deficiencies. But the fact of the matter, let's keep it real. Look at the Lakers depth chart. Look at the Lakers roster. Look at the Trailblazers roster. The Blazers have a better roster. LeBron, if you were to draft from both those teams, you'd say, okay, give me Bron number one.
Yeah.
But who would you really take two?
Dame or AD, and I don't
who would
know.
You take? It's fine. Take AD. Take AD, Marcel.
Okay. He's closer to the rim already.
Take him.
Okay.
Number three, you're going to take Dame.
Oh, damn.
Number four, you're going to take CJ. Number five, you're probably going to take Nurk. Number six, you're probably going to take Melo. Number seven, you're probably going to take Gary Trent. Who cracking the Blazers starting five outside of AD and LeBron? So the Lakers are in trouble because they've been in trouble.
Woo, look at you. Best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And look, I know that everyone takes my Laker criticism with a grain of salt because I'm such a Clipper fan. But one thing I don't do is rob my job of objectivity. I always keep it down the middle. Despite my rooting interests.
I'm not going to let me get away with that.
I thought you were going to like analyst at large. All right, here's the thing. Lakers are leaky water holes. And I grew up with a lot of leaky water hoses in the neighborhood. And one thing I noticed about them, that they never had one piece of tape on them. They always had 5, 10, 15. Because once you find one leak, you patch that one up, you start another one. You just continue to see it, and it's becoming porous for a team like the Lakers right now and their issues. All across major statistical categories, we saw that the Lakers were the worst offense in the bubble. Mm-hmm. But we all thought that they could hit the switch or, like you said, cover all their warts with their dynamic duo. But what happened in game one was the dynamic duo actually showed up. Now, showing up for AD is weird because it's not the fourth quarter, but it's still AD. 21 points at half, then you end up with 28. Okay, your season average is 26. You did a little more. You stepped up a notch, even though we didn't feel the impact the same. LeBron James goes out there, triple-double. LeBron James is touching every stat category.
Everyone.
Showing his way on every level of the game, except down the stretch, LeBron did what LeBron does at times. Misses those free throws. That's a LeBron thing. That's something that's been following LeBron all the time. Now you look at the other team, a team that is maybe the best offense we've seen in the bubble. You look at this team right here, and they actually don't even play up to their standard.
And they still beat the Lakers, who, in some respects, even Kuzma beats his season average, shows some spark. I don't know where the Lakers going to find the juice against a team that looked like they didn't have all their juice. That's my issue right there. But for more on this, let's bring in our Fox NBA analyst, Slick Rick the Bucher.
Slick.
Rick, is it time for the Lakers to panic?
No.
Oh,
come on, guys.
Oh, here you go. What you?
Please, Chris Montana. You know what? I'm all don't panic. Slick. I'm not going to talk for another minute. Go ahead.
Don't panic.
I'm going to go to my Acho / Marcellus bag, because both of you are very good at the analogy. As you guys may know, I surf. Mm-hmm. And dude, the waves come in all sorts of different forms, but the larger the waves you surf in and you learn to handle, the easier the smaller ones are. In fact, you don't pay as much attention when you are in smaller waves after you've done a triple overhead. And you know where I get hurt the most? When I am surfing small waves as a result, because I don't pay the same attention. This would be reason to panic if they were in a situation that LeBron James and the key players on this team, but LeBron James in particular, had never faced before. If they didn't know, I don't know what I'm facing. I don't know how to react to this. LeBron James has been in situations far, far worse than this. He's been down 3-1 in the finals and found a way to come back. So being down 1-0 in the bubble against the Portland Trailblazers is no reason to panic. Ultimately, and the other element here is we are in the bubble. So if this was the normal 1 versus 8 seed, you could make the case, oh, we just lost home court advantage. Guess what? There is no home court advantage. They could be down 2-0, and they're going and still playing in a neutral site. So, look, are there issues that need to be resolved? Yes. But you said it yourself, Marcellus. You said they're not playing to their standard. I believe that at some point, some of these things have to balance out. And when they do, in a game as close as game one, the Lakers have all the ability to come back and win the series for sure.
Slick, you gave me so many points to undermine.
Now, crash and burn on that wave, brother.
While I am still on the bandwagon that the Lakers will win in six, I am day by day losing faith. Slick, you said it's not as if LeBron and the Lakers don't know how to react. Frank Vogel didn't know how to react. When the Blazers decided, you know what, we're going to go big because we're getting out-rebounded and we got nobody to protect the rim. The Blazers said, all right, let's keep Nurk in with Whiteside. The Lakers did not react. Stott said, checkmate, and the Lakers did not have another move. That was it. The chess game was over. Close my board. Let me take it back home.
To the
you
crit.
Said that the Lakers aren't playing up to their standard. The reason I disagree with you is because it's as if the Lakers' standard moved down in the bubble. We've kept the Lakers' standard up high based on their 50-plus wins back in November, December, January. But in the bubble, Slick, the Lakers, they had the most games under 100 points. Again, last night, a game under 100 points. Slick, the Blazers ain't held a team under 100 points since January 7th, bro. Mm-hmm. So we have to realize maybe this is the new Lakers standard. LeBron balled. LeBron had a historical performance, 23, 17, 16. Like Marcellus said, he touched everything. But this ain't Midas. Everything he touched did not turn to gold because the balls that he was passing to his cats, they weren't making the shots. The same thing we had seen in the previous 8 games. This is the new Lakers. This is the new standard unless they can cause this standard to rise.
I'm not quite convinced that this is the new standard. I refuse to reject everything that they did during the regular season.
You have to, though, Slick.
Take these games when the seeding was already basically established as a full indicator of what they are. Can they get back to what they were? I don't know. But let's not look at last night's game as if it wasn't close and it wasn't there for the taking. Yes, they scored low. That's the kind of game they want to play at Slick. This point.
Slick.
Here's the other element that you're not taking into consideration.
Please tell me what I'm not taking into consideration, Slick.
It is the fact that you have had the Blazers playing for their lives every day for the last week.
Absolutely.
The Lakers have not played a meaningful game in over a week. So the ability to ratchet it up to say, oh, you know what? Hey, we're going to have to really pay attention to this Blazers team. I'm sorry. For everything that LeBron has done and for everything that the Lakers did over the course of this season, we can all say, hey, you better be worried about the Blazers. They're for real. And they can even say, hey, we're concerned about the Blazers. But they didn't play like they were concerned Slick. About the Lakers. Until I see them play with that urgency and lose, Slick. I'm going to say they still have a
I'm
couple
tricks in
their
back. I'm going to just keep saying Slick till you die. Slick, you ever been to the casino, Slick?
Oh, here you go.
I have, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
You know, when you go to the casino, bro, I'm a blackjack guy myself. Oh. You hit on the, you sit on the table, Slick. What happens? You lose one hand. You like, you know what? This next hand about to be my hand. Let me double down. You lose that hand. Oh, this finna be my hand. Mm. You lose that hand. Sooner or later, Slick, you're out of money. You're like the Lakers right now. You keep throwing money to the table. Like, well, sooner or later, the Lakers are going to change. The fact of the matter is they're not. Danny Green in the bubble, 38% from the field, 25% from three in those first eight games. Last night, 25% from three, 33% from the field. I trust that LeBron may ratchet it up, but Slick, you got to quit betting thinking that the next hand is going to be the hand because Danny Green showed us it's not finna turn. KCP literally had a triple single, 1 point, one board, one assist. He showed us it's not gonna turn. You gotta realize, Slick, it might be time to pack up and walk away from the table, bro.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's just kill you with a few of the numbers because we could get lost in the rhetoric and whoever had the best schooling can win that. Slick Rick, you will win that over Otto. But let's go into, like, everybody's plus minus. The entire starting lineup for the Lakers is minus. Okay, you lost the game, so I kind of understand that, but not to that degree. Nobody had a greater impact on the court when they were there. You act like the Blazers really balled out yesterday. They shot 39% from the field. I think that's going to have an uptick as well. The Lakers are a strong defense. We've seen that this year. However, going against a weak defense in Portland, you can't eclipse 100 points in that outing when you are playing for your life. LeBron already said he is walking into this situation playing the Portland Trail Blazers, not a number 8 seed. His guard wasn't down. He was fully loaded and prepared for this moment. I just think that right now they're running into a team, Slick Rick, where the roster, in terms of construction, in terms of energy, like you said, urgency, and the fact that they got the blessing in Nurkic coming back, it looks fully loaded, ready to go to war.
I have seen Danny Green shoot poorly, and when it was needed most, he has come through for the Toronto Raptors. He has a career shooting percentage from 3 points of 40%.
It's diminishing by the
day. I have to believe that's going to come back to the mean. Dwight Howard.
Mean what?
The most efficient, maybe arguably the most efficient guy off the bench of any player in the league during the regular season. Gave them almost nothing. Shot 40%. He shoots 70% plus during the regular season. All they need is one of those things ultimately to turn for this to change. So, again, but it's one game. The idea that if they come back and they win game one Slick. And they punch a hole in this Portland Trailblazers confidence, the reason that the Blazers shot what they did is because they were able to defend with big bodies on those guards.
Let me ask you this. Slick.
They made contested shots. I'm not going to take anything away from the Blazers.
Let me ask you this.
The Lakers demonstrated they can do some things that are going to make the game difficult for the Blazers.
Slick, let's stop with all the nuanced talk and let's just answer the straight question. I asked this right before you came on. Who has the better roster? Because to me, it's overtly clear the Blazers actually have the better roster from 3 through 7. I'm not talking about 1, which is clearly LeBron. 2 is debatable between Dame and AD right now. To me, it's clear that the Blazers have a better roster.
Dude.
So now I feel like as a LeBron fan, I'm just holding on to hope. You're still grasping and clutching onto hope and faith. Who has the better roster to you and why?
It's not as simple as saying who has the better roster.
Not when you don't want to say what he wants you to say.
No. But here's why.
What?
The Blazers have the deeper roster. The Blazers have the more versatile roster. But LeBron James changes that entire equation. When you have the best player who can change the game for everybody else.
LeBron was amazing last night, Slick.
Amazing.
LeBron had a historical performance, Slick, and they still lost. Like, what else do you want LeBron to do? What
I want
else
him to close the game. I want him to close the game.
Well, Slick, to that point of how historic it was, he's played in 240 postseason games. That was only his 24th triple-double. As Acho would say, you should put an asterisk by that one. And that should have been a win, but it wasn't a win. And that is damaging to the Lakers' confidence. Coming up, We're not done with these Lakers. Sounds like they're blaming the bubble for last night's loss. Uh-oh, we'll explain. Plus, the Eagles are already singing the praises of Jalen Hurts. I'll tell you why Carson Wentz should be looking over his shoulder next. Speak for yourself. Then it by Andre.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. We're going back to them Lakers, who lost game one to the Blazers last night. LeBron James said recently his quest for a fourth ring would be, quote, the toughest championship run for me. Well, it didn't get off to a hot start. The Lakers shot 5 for 32, ew, beyond the arc. And it sounds like they're blaming the bubble. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I continue to say this is different. This is different in an aspect of this. I mean, I'm in a bubble with no fans. But as far as me being locked in on the game plan, that doesn't change, not one bit.
I say it's a little different, especially in the playoffs when you're on the run or you know anything like that. You kind of get that home crowd into it, and they kind of get you going. Put a little pressure on the opposing team, but you know, we know coming in that it's not going to be that. You know, we only have our bench, so you know, our bench is trying to make up for the crowd.
Joined once again by that dude, Slick Rick. He was talking crazy, but I think he'll come to his senses. Marcellus, though, I'm going to come to you first. Do you have an issue with the Lakers blaming the bubble for the loss in game one?
I think everyone has an issue with it. Outside of AD and LeBron, it sounds like, seems like they're tone deaf to what's coming out of their mouth in terms of complaining about the elements. Whew. So glad Portland didn't have to deal with the bubble. Oh, they did? Oh, every team that showed up, all 22 teams and the playoff teams now, all have to deal with the bubble. So this really comes off wrong, especially when you're trying to bring some confidence to a group that outside of LeBron really doesn't have tremendous success in the playoffs. LeBron started this, and Slick Rick, you pointed this out, and I'm going to let you take it from here. In terms of introducing that other opponent to the mindset of these Lakers, really looking at the circumstances and harping on them and highlighting them. And my coach always told us, never, never introduce yourself to another opponent. You got enough problems with the guys with the other color jerseys on, let alone to lose mental discipline and focus and start worrying about circumstances. I used to see it all the time when I was a Buffalo Bill. Guys would come in, first thing off the bus, walking into the stadium, damn, it's cold out here. We're like, uh-oh, that's 7 points. And then you get on the field. If you can't quickly internalize the circumstances and digest them for what they are and then move on, if you're still harping on that, you really are doing yourself a disservice.
I'm going to say two things. I'm going to preface with the cliches, right? Don't make excuses. They're like buttholes. Everybody has one and they all stink. Or I'll give you a Wileyism, for example,
okay,
right?
No credit.
Don't let nothing without a heartbeat beat you. That's the standard. Like, don't let anything without a heartbeat beat you. That doesn't qualify.
They ain't going to make
it. Well, look, Marcellus, look. You played college ball at Columbia, correct?
See you.
How many fans were in attendance? Let me just ask you that.
Average 3,000 all the way up to 13,000.
See, a place like the University of Texas, you're playing with 101,000. LeBron has been playing overkill in front of 15,000 cats since he was in high school. Since he was 15 years old, AD, he played in the Final Four in front of 70,000 people. CJ, been balling, got it out the mud. CJ McCollum, that is. But he was playing, what, Lehigh in front of 1,200? Dame got it out the mud himself, but he was playing at Weber State in front of 6,800. See, their most impressionable years, Marcellus, they were built around not having a crowd. LeBron and AD, they've been built around playing in front of stars. And I'm talking big stars, not like you or I. I'm talking like Rihanna's. I'm talking about like Jack Nicholson's. I'm talking about like Snoop's, okay? They get their hype, their energy out of that crowd. So, while it might be an excuse, Marcellus, while it might be an excuse, Lit, I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, that was a performance. That was acting.
That was strong. I mean, it's wrong, but it is.
Wrong is strong.
I'm going to take my red marker and I'm going to underline everything that Marcellus said, because here's the issue. Number one, you're not just making an excuse about something that is inanimate, as you mentioned, Acho. You're using something that you can't change. The reality is you're playing in the bubble and you're going to continue to play in the bubble. So if that's a problem, it's going to continue to be a problem. I don't want to present that to myself or to my team when it comes to my mindset. Second thing is, when it comes to home court advantage, you happen to be playing against a Blazers team whose Moda Center is probably the biggest home court advantage for any team in the league, right there with Utah and Denver. So that doesn't quite work. There were 8 teams that lost game one. How many talked about the bubble being the reason for that loss? I can only count one. And by the way, I wasn't hearing anything about the issues of the bubble when you beat the Clippers and when Anthony Davis was lighting them up, or when they beat the Jazz, or when they beat the Nuggets.
That's fair.
And I have to come back to it. You're griping about something that you cannot change. I would like to believe that you look at it and say, this is what we need to do different. Don't tell me something that you don't have any control over is the reason that you lost, because that would suggest that you don't have any answers.
You know, when you're talking to this performer over here, oh, Sonny Son, the Bishop's son over here. Sometimes you got to take him back to where his impressionable years were. In the church. You know this boy grew up with Bishop Sonny. And Bishop Sonny, I'm sure, read this at one time. I ain't been to church in a while, so I got to read it. God, give me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And damn it, nobody should be wiser in the NBA than old-ass LeBron James. But boy, talking about a rookie move, telling everyone it's about the bubble, the circumstances. My suite is only 2,000 square feet here. It's a lot different. The elements, all these things just become cancerous to a team that's like, you're giving me a mattress to lie on in case of emergency. So here's the thing, Acho.
What's the thing?
And I got to dispel this whole myth, because I played in no crowd, elementary, Pop Warner, junior high, high school. I didn't go to some of these storied schools, even college. Let me tell you one thing about crowd support. They don't act up. They don't get raucous until you do something. So in the chain of events, there's an action. I get a sack. Acho goes out there and gets a tackle for loss, interception. And then there's a reaction. The crowd goes crazy, and we feed off of that. But they feed off of us first in priority and primarily. We have to do something. If not, you can hear the hot dog vendor talking if you're not out there making plays. So, hey, Lakers, you keep talking about all what you're missing. Well, you know what you're missing is field goals. You're missing three-pointers. You're missing your shots. That's your issue.
But the issue, Marcellus, is something you talked about. It's kind of feeding off one another. It's like photosynthesis, right? Shall we go there?
Yes.
Carbon dioxide to oxygen, oxygen to carbon dioxide. They feed off of each other. Look, think about this. Let's talk football for a second. Ray Lewis, he came out the tunnel. But Ray Lewis wasn't going to do that in an empty stadium. Why? The fans.
You ain't never hung out with Ray Lewis?
The fans would feed off that energy, and they would give that energy back to the players. LeBron James and AD.
Hold on.
They feed. No, you're not going
to. Ray Lewis would do this in the bathroom. I'm just letting you know.
I'm going somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I got my GPS destined to go somewhere. Okay, LeBron and AD, historically speaking, bro, they have fed off of these crowds. While y'all may be right in that they're making an excuse. I'm not going to say they're not making an excuse. I understand that. But can we at least give some validity to what they are saying? Because what they're saying is valid. Marcellus, no. You know what, Rick? When y'all give me too much time to think, the truth comes out. You said yourself.
You outthink yourself.
You said yourself 2 weeks ago when we first did this show.
That was 4 weeks ago.
And no crowd.
You're already lying.
When you said we first did this show day one in front of no audience and it was just me and you, you did not give it your best effort, correct?
He lied. Correct. I said because it's a rehearsal, I'm not going to give you my full law until I know it's a real game.
That's not what he said.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Producer, pull up the tape. Split. Some producer, pull up the tape. Rick,
you asked me to audition, you're not getting Marcellus. You asked me live bullets, let's go, you get all I got. That's not what this is. Every team showed up in the bubble knowing it matters. And whether you care about the end of the regular season or not, or you locked up the one seed, fine, LeBron, I gave you a pass. But guess what? Last night was real, brother. Those things, if they hit you, they're going to hurt. And last night, the Trailblazers went out there and lit it up and didn't even play their best performance. And I haven't heard one Trailblazer talk about the living circumstances, the accommodations,
they're
the
used
crowd
to it.
Or
and Weber State and Lehigh, that's probably what it was like, Marcellus. LeBron is used to mansions, cribs, something you will see on
Bougie.
MTV, bro. LeBron is used to the upper echelon. He's not used to these 2x2 square foot dormitory-like living
quick.
Existences.
Better,
neither is AD.
He better get grimy.
You guys are going to have to work out your pulling the covers on the behind the scenes stuff. I can't do that for you. But I will, look, Marcellus, I will agree with Acho on this.
Don't do it.
We can say that the green light was on because we think the green light was on. And the Blazers clearly thought the green light was on. But the Lakers are demonstrating they're not really believing that the green light is on
sick.
Just yet. So until I see
That's
that urgency,
Slick.
I'm going to give them the out. That,
Slick.
Hey, look, they're looking at, they're still thinking dress rehearsal. They're still, oh, you know what?
Slick.
Look,
what did LeBron
the
say?
They're the eighth seed. We've got time.
No,
we'll
wait a minute. How can I have more kids than all of y'all and still have enough time to read all this material, study all of this, watch the tapes of LeBron, every single word that comes out of his mouth, just so I'm prepared for moments like this? LeBron James just said it. He said, we are playing the Portland Trailblazers. They are not a number eight seed. Look at their playoff experience. Look at the dogs they have on their team. We know when we come up to battle that we can't have our guards down. Now I want to hear you respond and say how they don't think the light is green.
Marcellus,
yes,
I also know that you pay attention to everything that LeBron says.
He does.
And you know, as I know, that he says a lot of things that he does not mean.
Mm-hmm.
He says them because they sound good. He says them because he thinks it's the thing he's supposed to say. And based on the way he and the Lakers came out in this game, it tells me they said that they were taking the Blazers seriously, but they didn't take the Blazers seriously.
Slick Rick, LeBron had a historic game. LeBron played as well as he probably can play. Only thing he was down was his points.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Look. I'm talking about this team this year. Y'all going to go back to 2016. Y'all going to go back to LeBron James' historical performances. I'm talking about integrated with this team. Anthony Davis, 28 points. That's a little more than what you're going to see. Kuzma, 14. That's a little more than you see from him on average. All I'm saying is, where are you going to extract this offense that you think is going to magically appear that we haven't seen since they've been in these treacherous circumstances called the bubble?
All I need is the offense from LeBron James in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
That's where this game was decided. I need him to go toe-to-toe from three-point range. If he doesn't make them, he doesn't make them. But he never took them in game one, so they never had the opportunity to match the Blazers and what they did from the three-point arc.
Well, like Marcella said, LeBron James said a lot. But coming up, we're going to talk about a statement he made without using his words off the court yesterday. And we're going to tell you if it's actually hurting the NBA. That's next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's head back to the NBA, where LeBron James and his teammates made a huge statement off the court last night by wearing red MAGA hats that were altered to say, quote, make America arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. The Athletic reported the NBA's ratings are down, and a key factor could be the league's stance on supporting social justice issues while in the bubble. Slick Rick DeBuecher is back with us, but Acho, one of you first. You think NBA ratings are being impacted by social justice displays like this.
They're absolutely not. And those who say they are, they're not necessarily wrong. They're just misleading and a little misguided. Whenever you get busy, at least when I get extremely busy, when I get preoccupied, two things go for me, Marcellus. The first thing that goes is eating, because it's just not a necessity. You got to eat every 3 days, scientists say, but you ain't got to eat every 3 hours. So that goes first. Second thing that goes for me is sleep, because on my priority list, it's just at the bottom. Well, right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I do not mind if sports, if basketball right now, if the ratings have diminished. If I wasn't a sports analyst, I probably wouldn't be watching these play-in basketball games. I'm trying to figure out who running the country. I'm trying to figure out, is my temperature over 100.4 degrees? I'm trying to figure out where Marcellus got that LA Clippers mask he was sporting yesterday so I can rock me a face mask. The ratings are not dipping because of social justice messages. Social justice messages aren't even affecting the game as you watch it. The only little tidbit it's affecting is when I'm trying to see a player's name on the back of their jersey and all I can see is equality, in which case I'm like, oh yeah, it would be nice if the world were equal. It ain't got nothing to do with social justice. There are more important things going on, and I actually applaud America for having its priorities in line. At the end of the day, sports, they're just a game. It ain't life and death. It's a game. Treat it like so.
Can I add to the things that I'm trying to figure out? A guy who's wearing a double-breasted peak lapel jacket saying that the other guy is out-dressing him? How does that happen?
That's what I said.
I like this fit. I like this fit.
Broaches.
No. It looks great. You're talking about Marcellus. I'm like, you fit it out. The social justice statements, it's having some sort of impact. It has to. It's a different look. And I've seen enough on social media to suggest that people, it's not why they're tuning in. But is it the primary reason that the ratings are down? Not a chance. Because we've seen the ratings declining or going flat for several years now. And there was no social justice going on. There was no Hong Kong, China controversy. I would say that the biggest influence is the fact that we are playing in August. And while we have the great benefit of living on the West Coast, where we're used to year-round weather where you can go outside, the vast majority of the country is not conditioned to be staying inside watching basketball this time of year and are taking full advantage of being outside and enjoying the weather when they can, especially since we have been in a pandemic where many, many people were forced to stay inside for a long time. So I just think that that's having a greater influence on this than anything else. There are a number of other things. We're playing in a single time zone, and so that disrupts things. People can't watch the majority of these games on the West Coast because they're at work. And I would say the one other element is we don't have any stars or storylines that are captivating for the mainstream audience. Those of us who have been starved for basketball are going to watch as much as we can. But the numbers jump in the ratings when you have some sort of storyline or a star who captures the imagination of the mainstream sports fan. And I just don't see the NBA having that at this point.
Lot to chew on. I am going to be on the other side of the fence with you guys on this one. And I'm going to break this one down.
Break it down.
Because, Slick Rick, I think both of you guys made interesting points and elements, but the summation, I'm not going to agree with the conclusion. The question is, are the NBA ratings being impacted by social justice displays? Yes, they are. But it's a perfect storm. That's just one slice of this pie. But it's a bigger slice than I think you guys are giving it credit. Let's go back to 2011, 2012, where I'm going to use the NBA, Major League Baseball, and football's ratings. Do you know that the NBA's ratings have tanked to a point where it's almost 45% down? Where the NBA is 45% down, baseball is flat. And football is flat since 2011, 2012. So social justice happens to all leagues, you know, it's in our country. So it's interesting why football and baseball didn't go down like the NBA did. Then you say, okay, what was the worst year for the NBA in terms of ratings? It was 2019. Wow, what happened in 2019 that made it the worst? Ooh, Daryl Morey in the tweet. Oh, and the China relationship. And that takes me to somewhere else. And I think what's really happening with the NBA is because they have made it a priority to globalize their game in terms of being an international product. What's the mantra of football? America's game. What's the mantra of baseball? America's pastime. What's the mantra of the NBA? Hey, we're everywhere. China, hello. And that's where the tug of war occurs. When you're growing your game and you're prioritizing the relationship with China, then Daryl Morey sends the tweet, and then everyone goes silent on China, but louder on American issues. I think that has turned off some Americans. Let's just be real about this, because there's no way you can explain why golf, NASCAR, and wrestling all outrated the most watched NBA game in the bubble. Like golf, but NASCAR, wrestling. And I understand we're going to say, oh, it's August, it's off schedule for the NBA. But whatever you want to say, they lost some of their viewers because they're out there breaking quarantine. They're still watching something. And I understand there are a lot of layers to this. But one layer that needs to be highlighted is the fact that a lot of Americans are hearing outcries about it's home, but not hearing the same kind of energy when it talks about other countries, China in particular, abroad.
Marcellus, you said you can't explain it, how something like golf would outrate the highest watched NBA game in a bubble. Well, let me offer an explanation. Okay. It's all about saturation. It's all about supply and demand. Bubble games, right now we're getting 4 games a day, starting at 10:30 our time, rocking all the way to the kickoff time or tip-off time at 6 p.m. It's saturation, bro. When you got a once-a-week event versus a 4-day event, you're more likely to tune into the once-a-week event. But I think more specifically, you know better than most. You got kids. Right now, you got parents who are doubling down as teachers, janitors, PE instructors, and nurses trying to raise their kids at home. I would assume they're probably a little bit more preoccupied than tuning into hoops games. I would rather my parents be raising their kids than trying to see what LeBron talking about and if Luka's about to drop 45. I think it is all a priority thing. I'm not talking years past, but I'm talking right now the specific. It is a combination of the pandemic more than it is about social justice. I think people understand there's a lot of social justice issues going on, but that's not turning them off from the product. That's not turning them off from the game itself.
So is this an open book test? Because I want to know whether I can borrow from Marcellus's book. Am I? Can
you
I
can
do
borrow. Hey, you don't I'll borrow everything okay. I'm going to say from the Athletic. So, yeah, you can borrow it.
So among those sports that you said are doing well or better than the NBA, can you mention those again?
Oh, in terms of single viewership, like the NBA's highest watched game was dwarfed by golf, NASCAR, and wrestling.
Oh, no, no, no. What was that? What was that?
Golf?
What was that?
Golf?
No, no, no.
NASCAR? Wrestling?
Didn't they have a social justice controversy?
Who?
Turned off a lot of fans? Didn't they have a Confederate flag issue that supposedly turned off a lot of fans?
Talk about it, Slick.
If social justice issues are having a negative effect on viewership,
wouldn't we
expect that NASCAR would be having a downturn? Maybe because it actually directly affected one of the drivers, a man of color, with a noose in that whole controversy. So if social justice and the issues about it are turning off viewers, I would think that NASCAR would be in the same boat as the NBA, and yet, they're not.
I'm curious.
You know why they're not, Slick?
I'm curious, Slick.
You know why? See, that highlights the hypocrisy that is really turning people off. And let's be real about this. You were talking about Bubba Wallace and that controversy, and obviously, regardless if you want to talk about racism or any of the other evils, that it all comes from a core of evil. And NASCAR, maybe some say, went too far in its initial statement and reaction, but they dealt with this situation. And then it went away in that situation. Here's the problem with the NBA, why this is completely different, apples and oranges. The NBA, when it talks about social justice, is doing itself a great deed and letting everyone have the opportunity to use their platform and voice. The problem comes when the NBA is still trying to get negotiations going back with China. And the problem is when they're on one hand, as my grandma says, they always got two hands. One is rubbing your back, the other one's stabbing you in it. One hand is saying, America, we need to fix our issues. And then the other hand is say, China, we need your money. Don't worry about your issues. America is sitting there saying we need to grow a farm system to cultivate new talent. But the one that they already had in China has been proven to be unhealthy by many human standards. And they're still having a handout for that opportunity because of the money. So what people are saying here is keep the same energy you have for social justice when you do your outreach and globalization for the China dollar. And that's when the NBA gets quiet. That's when LeBron gets quiet. You can hear Steve Kerr. You can hear Popovich all beat down America's issues and values. But when you bring up China in the press conference, and I think that hypocrisy is the difference between this and what you said about NASCAR. Nothing else? Okay, I got y'all. All right, good. Coming up, Dez Bryant is still looking for a home, and Lamar Jackson didn't exactly invite him in. Wait till y'all hear this. Next, Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's move on to Baltimore, where Dez Bryant landed yesterday for a workout with the Ravens. Now, Dez, we all know about him throwing up the X. He's a three-time Pro Bowler, but he hasn't played since 2017, and his only workouts, well, they've been on social media. Lamar Jackson publicly lobbied for Antonio Brown earlier this offseason, but he seemed a little lukewarm Tuesday, possibly when talking about adding Dez Bryant. Take a listen.
We got a lot of great receivers who's here right now, but it's up to the front office. I'll be seeing Dez Bryant on Instagram and stuff like that, running his routes and competing against cornerbacks, and he'd be looking pretty good on social media. But yeah, if the front office like him, we'll have to see when he get here.
On social media, he says. Well, we're joined now by LeVar Arrington. Let's talk some football, though. Marcellus, you up first. Does Lamar Jackson sound like he wants the Ravens to sign Dez Bryant?
Hell no. He mad that he got asked a question. You know, you get put on the spot, somebody say, how I look? You be like, God, Lord, I got to tell them the truth. Or I got to keep the party going and try and soften this one up. So you throw a softball. That was him returning the softball. Because I just want to juxtapose those words of, yeah, I saw him on Instagram. He looked pretty good and all that stuff. Well, what he said about the Antonio
Full
Brown.
Screen King.
Full screen king. It was nice throwing to Antonio Brown. I was hoping we could get him. Uh-oh, that sounds a little strong. I'm still hoping a little bit. He's passionate about the sport of football. When he was working, you could tell this man is going 24-7. I was like, dang. This guy, there's no quitting with him. That's the type of guy we need in our locker room. Does that sound a little different in tone than what he said about Dez Bryant? We got a lot of great receivers already. Basically, he's saying no vacancy at this hotel. Like, we don't have room for him. But, hey, if y'all want to go get him based off of some Instagram highlights, that's y'all decision. But he didn't put his chest into this conversation because he doesn't want Dez Bryant on that team.
Nah, he ain't put his chest in there, you know. Fellas, what was it? Last week, 2 weeks ago, we was talking about Instagram models when the NBA, they came up with their rule. And, you know, this quote by Lamar, it kind of told me about, you know, yeah, she don't look great in person, but she looked good on social media. That's how I felt about Lamar Jackson's words. I'm like, last time I saw Dez was that dude. Well, back in 2014, 2015, 2016. We ain't really seen a dominant Dez Bryant in a while. I think that's what Lamar Jackson's speaking of. Marcellus, he gave us the quote. Y'all can read it there. But there's a line that I think was missing.
Okay.
I'd be happy if we signed him. That's what Lamar Jackson was saying about AB. But then when you talk about Dez, he looked pretty good. You should have just left it there, Lamar. Like, if you would have just said he looked pretty good, yeah, LeVar, I feel like we all would have been up here and been like, yeah, he boosting him, good looking out. Yeah. But he said he looked pretty good on social media. Ain't nothing more disrespectful than when you got to add that little on social media tip, because that's when you know they might look good on social, but it might be a whole nother picture in real life.
Yeah, Freddie.
You know what's funny? When somebody asks you something that you don't want to do, you always put it on somebody else.
Yeah,
like how during the break I was asking you when we're going to hang out, Marcellus, and we put it on your wife, right?
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is you don't want to do it, right?
Yes,
so
again.
It's kind of the same situation here, right? Like, do I want Dez Bryant? Well, if the front office wants him, I'm okay with it. Like, translation, no, I don't want no, I don't want him. Let's be clear here. Like, I'm going to push it off on the front office because ultimately the front office is going to make the final decision on this. Let's not lose sight and track of the fact that teams bring in players all the time. One of the things that tripped me out when I was in the pros for the first year, I see the Rocket Like, Rocket Ismail is in there on Tuesday. I'm in there getting my treatment. I'm putting my clothes back on, get ready to get up out of here. And here come all these dudes walking into the locker room, and I see the Rocket, like, the number 25, no Notre Dame Golden Domer coming in. Yeah. Like, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
Oh, man, in for a workout. Da, da, da. Oh, man, we're going to have Rocket Ismail come back Wednesday. No Rocket Ismail. No Rocket. You know what I mean?
Right.
So names only mean so much for so long. The reality here is, no, you did not get a glaring endorsement from Dez Bryant or from from Lamar Jackson about Dez Bryant. And Dez Bryant was there just starting his trail, I'm assuming, of Tuesday free agent workouts.
Now, it wouldn't have been such an indictment had he not boosted AB so much. Remember, the Ravens, they already got Mark Hollywood Brown. They got a young Miles Boykin. They just drafted in the third round Devin Duvernay, a young speedster. They have receivers. So I understand Lamar Jackson saying, you know what, we good.
No.
But you can't be like, nah, I'm not interested in you, but then want to go out on a date the next day. You feel me? And that's what Lamar Jackson did. It's like, yeah, nah, Dez. You know, I'm seeing somebody else right now, so I just don't think it's going to work out. You know, I'm just in another. You're not, because when it was AB, when AB walked into the bar.
He was all for it.
He was all like, oh, let me see what AB talking about. Yeah. That's the difference, man. It's a big indictment.
It's a difference, but you don't even need to have the difference to know he ain't feeling him. Like, this is what an explicit question. What you think of her? Oh, she cool. Like, what, already, we already know, dog. What's after she cool is, oh, she's really nice. And we know how that goes. Like, that ain't good.
On.
What's next? What's next? What's next?
After she really
I don't know what you're talking about, because we ain't tripping. Dez Bryant got hurt. An Achilles injury.
It's tough.
Dez Bryant had a perception, whether it was misperception or not, about him losing his separation, his fast twitch muscles. And people were questioning that. And then you have the one injury that robs you of your fast twitch muscles the most, which is an Achilles injury, because I had it myself. I just don't see exactly. I don't see Dez Bryant getting back in based on what people are thinking of him. And then those who have seen him still thinking the same thing about him.
Well, Dez, I hope to see you throw up the X soon. It just... Yeah. Ain't gonna be in Baltimore most likely.
Nah.
Coming up in our big story, the Eagles have fallen in love with Jalen Hurts. But I'll tell you why Carson Wentz, he ain't got nothing to worry about. That's next.
Speak for yourself.
I'm Marcellus Wiley. He's Emmanuel Acho. We're both sweating from taking those laps, and let's get to a big story. Talk about the Eagles. We have an interesting situation brewing at quarterback because Carson Wentz is at the top of the depth chart, but there appears to be some heads turning for rookie Jalen Hurts. Second-round pick has been the talk of Eagles camp, according to NFL analyst Daniel Jeremiah, saying, quote, all reports I've gotten out of Eagles camp, they are blown away with not only how athletic he is, but how smart he is and how much of a professional he is. Just carries himself as a veteran. Everyone's falling in love with him.
Aw. Acho, should Carson Wentz be worried about his job? Mr. Eagle?
No, bro. Every now and then, there's a situation that quite literally embodies a phrase.
Situation.
Don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Okay.
But Jalen Hurts, beast in college. Phenomenal dude. Met him at the College Football Awards. Huge fan of his game.
But he's a molehill.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just this situation is a molehill.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz, he ain't going nowhere, bro. He's a starter of all starters. Carson Wentz is an elite NFL quarterback. Jalen Hurts has proven to be an elite college quarterback. We're still TBD on what he's going to do as a pro. But Jalen Hurts has that number two on his jersey, and that's where he belongs on the depth chart right now, is number two behind Carson Wentz. And it's no knock on Jalen Hurts, but think about this, Marcellus, because, again, I have to remove my feelings from the situation. I like Jalen Hurts. So I said, okay, Acho, don't talk with your bias. Speak with these facts.
Huh.
In the 2000s, in the last two decades, 22 quarterbacks have been drafted in the second round. Drew Brees is one of them.
Okay.
After Drew Brees, you got Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Colin Kaepernick. The only quarterbacks drafted in the second round that have truly made significance. Then you got Jimmy G, who he's still skyrocketing, so we're going to see where he lands. The fact of the matter is, bro, the other 19, 18 quarterbacks drafted in the second round, they haven't done anything. They have been perennial backups. I'm not going to speak that on Jalen Hurts' life. That's not what I'm here to say. But I think he might have more of a ball in Philly to go ball elsewhere route. Ball in Philly in practice, because I don't see him getting on the field over that dude Carson Wentz.
Interesting. Carson Wentz is now elite, huh?
He's been elite.
It doesn't look like his peers think so after going from number three on the NFL 100 to,
Get to your point.
He ain't on the list.
Get to your point, Marcel.
Carson Wentz better be out there sweating like he running those Joe Judge laps like tire boss. He is in trouble, and I'm going to break it down by the numbers after I break you down with these rhetorical facts right here. You said that second rounders outside of three or four, have kind of flamed out.
Yep.
Forgetting, and this is a beautiful thing by you, you thespian,
I got
actor.
I got the list.
The two GOATs were drafted after the second round. Who was that? Joe Montana?
That was the third rounder.
Tom Brady.
Going back to 1970s?
That's
what I love about Marcellus.
But I'm still playing.
Marcellus like to go back to the 70s and to when the screens was in black and white. That's what I love about Marcellus.
Why I got to be segregated, like the screens. Like, look, ain't my fault I'm a historian and I lived through it and one of them's still playing. My point is this. When you look at this situation, the writing's on the wall. And it, right now, it's in lowercase, but it's about to be uppercase and bold. Because before Jalen Hurts was even drafted, too many conversations came out of the Eagles locker room, true or false, about the character of Carson Wentz, about the leadership of Carson Wentz, some of the issues of divided locker room, to the point where guys had to come out and they had to support Carson Wentz. And you know that if something is leaking out of there, it's not leaking for nowhere. It's not leaking because of nothing. I've been involved with probably the greatest quarterback controversy ever in terms of beef, Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie. And every week we would look at Sports Illustrated or look at the news and TV and hear real issues. Not always accurately portrayed, but certainly the core of it was actually expressed. But here's the real reason why you...
Full screen.
Full screen.
King.
You have no reason to worry if you're Carson Wentz unless these are your numbers. And look at these numbers right here. Fly, Eagles, fly. Carson Wentz in cash is $39.4 million. 77.9 in dead cap. So they ain't cutting them right there. And then in Wentz, you look at the next year, 2021, $25 million. Your backups make $884,000, not even $1 million. You're getting intrigued, but you still got a dead cap of $59,200. Then 2022 comes, brother. Welcome to the Terror Dome. You're making $22 million, your backup's only making $1 million, and your dead cap is reasonable, digestible, $24 million. By 2022, if Carson Wentz can't finally finish his season, play some meaningful football
get
in
out that
January, and do something.
Get out that man. See that's why you see why I'm laughing. Marcellus.
Help this organization win fully.
Marcellus just committed the top-tier crime. Counting another man's dollars.
I got to. That's my job.
Counting his dollars. You got to remember, Marcellus, all this is, bro, you making something out of nothing. The Eagles, they just understand the value of a backup quarterback. That's literally it.
They understand the value of
a backup quarterback. Nick Foles led that team to the Super Bowl, and the next year led him to what would have been the NFC Championship game if Alshon doesn't drop that pass against the Saints, I believe. This is nothing, bro. Jalen Hurts, he looks good. I'm glad he does. But Jalen Hurts looking good has nothing to do with Carson Wentz.
Jalen Hurts is checking all the boxes, especially in character and leadership. And this is looking a lot like Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love in Green Bay to me. Not good. Let's get LeVar in on this. LeVar, should Carson Wentz already be worried about his job?
You know, he should certainly be concerned about his job.
Veteran.
Listen, here's the reality. I'm glad you guys talked about draft picks and draft positions and different things like that. Think about this. We just had the question yesterday, should Tua be sat down? Should they protect their investment? And Acho, you were so into it. Like, Tua has proven his greatness. Make sure he is healthy for the long run because he's going to do such amazing things for the Miami Dolphins. That's interesting, right? Tua, he's a rookie. Okay, then we're talking about Joe Burrow and Cincinnati and what we believe that he may or may not do for the Cincinnati Bengals organization, the franchise, but they're all in on it. You know, he goes number one. But when you look at Jalen Hurts, we tend to forget that Jalen Hurts had a more prolific college career than both Mr. Burrow and both Mr. Tua.
Say it.
Now, one may argue the fact that Tua came in and finished the game, the second half of a game against Georgia. But let's be clear, Jalen Hurts marched that team to the national championship. Jalen Hurts won a national championship before that game. Jalen Hurts went to Oklahoma
now,
and there again took a team to the playoffs.
Hold on now.
at Oklahoma and finished second
for
the Heisman. He's got a strong body of work, stronger than any other quarterback that was in this NFL draft this year.
But I can tell you from experience, the success of a college career is no indicator of the longevity of an NFL career.
Then we don't need a draft.
You got that point.
Then
okay, both of y'all can tell that.
The other thing you're talking about.
But then we don't need a draft. Oh, you're wrong for that.
Late bloomer,
The other things, see, that's a low blow. The other, you know what, LeVar, go ahead and retort. I had a point to make, LeVar.
Y'all can't get me.
You go ahead.
Totally
you go ahead. LeVar, the superstar.
All I'm going to say to that is, yes, you can have guys that don't live up to the potential of what they were drafted as. And generally speaking, it's the Joe Burrows and it's the Tuas. It's not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had the best scenario playing out for him as it could possibly play out based upon your thought process, Emmanuel. You're looking at Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a top draft pick, has a top quarterback's contract, but has never been able to finish things out. Not last year, not the year before. We know the story on Carson Wentz and the injuries. Okay, it's a dirty hit, whatever. I don't know. If you want to talk about if you're going to project off of a college player, that's the whole point of why I brought up his resume and compared it to the other two. We cannot prognosticate what a guy is going to be, but we certainly can take a bold prediction on what their body of work says that they could possibly be. There are some guys who did prove out that were high draft picks. One was Bruce Smith. He went number one in the draft. Okay, so his body of work showed it in college, and he did it in the pros. Some guys do it, and I think that this is one of those dudes, the professionalism, the maturity, the swag that Jalen Hurts has, his ability and understanding of what winning is going to be valuable, and Carson Wentz should be certainly concerned about more than Aaron Rodgers or anyone else.
I'm not taking anything away from what you're saying. Y'all just have to realize the 2 points are mutually exclusive. Jalen Hurts can be great, but as long as Carson Wentz is greater, which Carson Wentz has proven to be, then everything you're saying, while valid, is validly irrelevant. Mm-mm. Everything you're saying, while true, is truly mute.
No.
It been proven?
I'm going to tell you why this is an issue. And you guys, we've all read, obviously, you just used the word
prognosticate.
LeVar! Go, LeVar! But we've all, and we're all.
You went to Texas. You stopped.
State school.
Our graduation rate is higher.
So, but when you're reading a book, look, we're old school. Let's date ourselves, not a Kindle, you know, audio books. When you're reading a book, there are times when you're turning the page, but you're still reading the last page, and then you finally flip it over. The narrative is starting to turn. The narrative and the page is going to turn on Carson Wentz. Here's why. He's always hurt. It's not like, oh, he's been hurt here or there in inopportune times.
No. Marcellus
going back
lying.
To college, he's always been hurt. And he's not played but one meaningful quarter in January football. So this is what happens. When you're cheap, and you know this, LeVar, when you cheap, you can fly under the radar while the coaches are over there working their puppet strings to say, look, one more time for you, Carson Wentz, to not finish the race. And we got your cheap version. Look, and this version is really
one
cheap.
Of my favorite shows growing up, Marcellus, I think it was Maury. They always had so much drama.
Maury.
So, yeah, it was. You know, I would get back home from school about 4 o'clock. I would turn on the Maury show because one of my favorite scenes was the lie detector test determined that was a lie.
The fraternity. Oh,
okay. Let's go. The lie detector test just determined what Marcellus said. That was a lie.
Go.
Carson Wentz, he's been hurt. He's been so injury prone. Last year, what have you done for me lately?
He got hurt.
Carson Wentz played 98.6% of the snaps.
Not 100.
Third on offense.
Did he finish it? Did he finish the season?
Bro.
Who finished
last
the season?
Last year, Carson Wentz was 7th in how many snaps he played of any quarterback. What you talking about? He's always... Yeah. You're living in a narrative. It makes sense, Marcel, because you always bring up history. You're a historian, buff. You really should have majored in history.
Yeah.
You're
bringing up a narrative
for Carson Wentz that lives in 2017 and 2016.
What?
Talk about the present. He ain't get hurt last year, coach. Now, I'm not talking about a cheap shot. I'm not talking about that.
So it's a cheap shot then, and then when you're leading the MVP race, it's a real legal shot.
It was legal.
And they win a Super Bowl without you. So now they're saying, why are we paying you all this money if we can win a Super Bowl without without you, or we could finish a playoff game without you. What are you going to do from beginning to end, Carson Wentz, to justify a $77.9 million?
You're going to lead the team to the playoffs single-handedly.
And get hurt.
What you're going to do. Single-handedly, the only person in NFL history 4,000 yards passing with no 500-yard receivers. What you
he
mean, what's Wentz going to do?
He better not get hurt.
That's my point. I don't give a damn if he throws for 7,000 yards. Let him get hurt. And in 2 years, he will not be the quarterback because he's not dependable. Coming up, I'll tell you why, no matter what Tom Brady does,
a real reliable quarterback does
in Tampa, he'll always be a winner in my book. Nuts!
I'm tired of
that
you.
Guy, always.
I'm tired of you talking, Marcellus.
You got your tickets.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's move on to Tampa, where Tom Brady is leaving some kind of first impression with his new teammates. Recently, Chris Godwin went on and on about the velocity on Tom's throws. Now his other main target, Mike Evans, took it a step further, saying, quote, "He's the GOAT on and off the field. It's crazy. He's a superstar, the most accomplished player in our game in history, and he's just like everybody else. He just works extremely hard. He's always taking care of his body. He's already up there as one of my favorite teammates, and we've only had a few practices together." LeVar's back with us, but Marcellus, I got to go to you first. Is Tom Brady in a no-lose situation in Tampa?
No-lose situation. No way this can go wrong for Tom Brady in terms of reputation and legacy. Think about this. If he goes out there and fails, flames out, they don't make the playoffs again, is anybody really going to raise their hand and say, Jameis Winston would have got him there?
I will.
Oh, you ruining? Okay. Well, right now he's at the Harvard of quarterback schools making $1 million as a backup. Respect to Jameis Winston as he resurrects his career. No one's really going to say that. So now you look at Tom Brady and you say, look, it's a lot of upside in this potential deal because he is Tom Brady, the GOAT. He can go to bed and sleep peacefully on a mattress with six diamond encrusted rings as pillows and say, no matter what you guys do to me, you're not keeping me up all night. Based on what happens in this situation. So, you know, me dabbling a little in business and knowing a person or two out there, there's a startup right now that was started by two co-founders. It's called Quibi. You guys heard of it, right? Hit his struggles during this pandemic. Launching during a pandemic may do that to your new startup. But no one's walking up to Meg Whitman and Jeffrey Katzenberg and saying, you guys, you failed. Because if you look at their Wikipedia, if you look at their resume, you understand what they've done. And if their new startup flames out, they still have a body of work to rest on.
Let me break this down for you, Marcellus, because you say that Tom Brady, he got nothing to lose. I'm going to take you down the Tom Brady checklist of what he has to accomplish, and if he doesn't, this season is, in fact, a failure.
I'm ready.
The first thing, he got to win 10 games. Last year, the Bucs won 7 off Jameis's 30 interceptions. He has to win 10 games. If Tom Brady wins 9 games, if he has 9...
What happens if he wins 9?
No, we're just going to look at him and be like, ugh.
You're going to look at Tom Brady sideways?
If we're going to Tampa Bay, absolutely. The second thing, you got to win more games than the Patriots, because here's what we know. It's Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick. Even if Tom Brady goes out there and win 10... If Bill Belichick go out there and win 11, everybody's still going to be like, dang, maybe it was Bill Belichick who accomplished or who was more important than Tom. The other thing, you got to go to the playoffs, Tom Brady. If he doesn't go to the playoffs, Tom Brady, when does Tom Brady not go to the playoffs? We're still going to look at him sideways, lose. And lastly, the little asterisk, win a Super Bowl. It's in Tampa. You've already tried to rename things and get a lawyer to sign off on Tampa Bay. So if Tom Brady doesn't, in that little last little bit,
what?
If he doesn't get to a Super Bowl in Tampa, the same organization in which he plays for, I think some people will also say that was not a successful season.
You too?
Tom Brady got a checklist.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too, for certain. I agree. I actually think it's Super Bowl or bust. And the reason being is, again, you guys exercise selective memory. I'm glad that, man, you did not fall into the trap of what y'all so generously do often. It's selective memory. Like, we talked about how Tom Brady is being measured and weighed with his greatness as a Siamese twin to Bill Belichick, right? Now they've been separated. And they've gone their separate ways. Tom Brady has to have success. If he doesn't have success and add to the greatness of what he had in New England, he's going to be judged and based off of that. So if he doesn't make it to a Super Bowl, at least make it to a Super Bowl, we're going to look at it as it was a failure of an experiment for Tom Brady to leave New England. If Tom Brady does not win a Super Bowl, he is in a no-win. In fact, it's not even a no-lose situation. He's in a no-win situation. I love the fact that Mike Evans said that he's a great guy, go on and off the field. We feel good. You know what it sounds like? Like what it's supposed to sound like. You just met the person that you're dating, but y'all haven't gone through anything yet. Mm-hmm. Wait till y'all go through a little bit of adversity. Let's see if you like how they do they snore at night. Like, do they can you smell them? Do they have BO? Let's see what happens once y'all living together for a little bit and see if you still feel it the way that you do. Because it's cool to say, oh, he's a great person on and off the field. But if y'all have a bad season, a losing season, you'll say, I feel good about him as a person, but it just didn't work out for us here.
Wow, that selective memory can hurt you, especially when you don't apply it properly. Joe Montana was the GOAT before Tom Brady was the GOAT. And Joe Montana left San Francisco and didn't win a Super Bowl and got smoked in the AFC Championship game when they went there against Buffalo and looked horrible in getting smoked. And not a single soul ever said you ain't the same Joe Montana. Not a single soul even questioned if he was the GOAT. But it's going to happen with Tom Brady. Oh, I don't think so. Let's go cross sport because sometimes you just get lost in the sauce. Can't see the forest from the trees because you're football players. And Michael Jordan went to the Wizards and just helped them with his greatness to the tune of 37 win seasons? And nobody was out there set tripping, talking about, oh, you're not the GOAT. But now Tom Brady's going to be judged by a different standard. Why is that, Acho? Please tell me.
It's because you moved the goalposts. We didn't say, is Tom Brady the GOAT or not? What we said is he in a loose situation? And he is
How
did Jordan lose?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
I moved the goalpost back and I kicked it right through the uprights.
How did my Jordan lose?
Uncle Jimmy is going to compare the Lakers loss to a movie that came out
Jimbo.
Before I was born? That's next. Speak for yourself.
What's that, do the right thing? Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Lakers were upset in game one last night. Dame time struck in a big way on LeBron's crew in the bubble. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy. So are the Lakers in trouble after losing game one? Say it, Uncle.
Man, remember that part in New Jack City where Nino Brown had to call the players only meeting to find out what the hell was going on in the organization?
Mm-hmm.
Hey. That's what LeBron James had to do with the Lakers last night.
What he had to do?
Man, he had that full-blown on him last night, man. He was yelling at Kuzma. He asked Kuzma, he said, hey, man, you think you gonna make every shot you take? Kuzma answered him just like G-Money. He said, most definitely. Then he started yelling at Dwight Howard. He said, hey, man, you gonna wear them tight-ass shorts every day to practice? Dwight Howard answered him like Dutter, man. He said, yes, I am. Now, see, I hate to give y'all a spoiler alert, but remember it got to the point that it looked like Nino was about to go down, but then all of a sudden he switched the tables around, and remember who he blamed the demise of the organization on? He blamed it on Pretty Ricky, a.k.a. Anthony Davis. Remember? And remember what he said.
What?
I never liked you anyway, you bushy-eyebrowed Nifty. Hey, man, the last sound that Anthony Davis will hear is rock a bob, baby. LeBron James is done with this dude, man. Mark my word.
Oh, man, cancel these Lakers. I'll buy another one.